Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 285 on July 15th. And I think last episode I said I was going to kick the show off.
Well, you want to start over?
No, I don't.
All right.
Next week, Don, next week. We've fallen into a pattern that's predictable, haven't we?
It is predictable. And yes, next time I'll try to remember it's your turn.
I'll make a card and hold up. In front of your mic. My turn, my turn. But anyway.
Maybe so. And when are we going to go to video?
I don't know. We talk about that. We've talked about it for years. I always say, I'll believe
we'll
it when
to
I
dress
see
better.
It. That's probably part of the reason we don't.
Well, I'm sitting here in my bestest blue shirt that I would disappear into a blue screen, absolutely, if we had to do that. But it's what I do. It's what I work on. Motorhomes, so I won't.
Yes, we're dressed significantly well for a video today, but we're not doing it. But to move on from that option that has never happened into the reality of the show today,
yes,
we
dear.
Have a guest. Yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
We have a guest that's been on the show, something like that. We have a guest that's been on the show many times.
I've got the microphone. I can turn you up and down.
You can. But it'll make for strange conversation if the people don't hear me responding to you.
Okay. Well, I'll take my hands off the buttons.
Okay. Back away from the buttons, Don. Anyway, I started to introduce our guest. Our listeners and readers will know our guest quite well. But welcome to the show again, Roxanne Bola.
Thank you.
Howdy.
I had to go whenever you said video because I remember that being talked about a couple, 3 years ago.
At least. Yeah. At least. Yeah. We have delusions of grandeur.
But at least I didn't have to put makeup on to come up here
there
today.
There you go. See,
we'll have to put my eyes on.
We'll make sure that if that day ever happens, we'll send out notices.
Yes.
Come prepared to be
yes.
beautiful
yeah.
at the creek.
At the creek.
Well, we'll have to at least have a backdrop so that we can, you know, have a beautiful background. You know, we'll do it on green screen. And
see, he's still got delusions of grandeur here, Roxanne.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll put up three green screens, and we'll have Hawaii behind one of us, and we'll have Southern California behind you, and put me working on a motor.
Okay. That's the bucket list.
Yeah, there
you go. Your bucket list, Don. So, anyway.
Well, I have one.
We have Roxanne back. And since the last time you've been on, you've done a lot of things like get married.
Yeah.
Become a grandmother for the eighth time.
Yep.
So why don't we talk a little bit about that before we delve into your creative nature here at Owl Creek.
Okay. Well, I got married December 3rd, but we had our hippie redneck shindig the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
Or middle of March. What was it? The 21st or something like that?
I don't know. Just a blur, right?
I don't. It was a blur.
Don't ask John.
But we just had a party then, and that was a lot of fun. John Ranch is my husband, mm-hmm. and he's my biggest cheerleader, too.
He is. Isn't that nice?
He is, and he's like always there to help with anything we're doing. He was my sous chef last year at the autumn dinner.
He was.
Yeah.
And that's
and
really
that's
nice.
And before we were married. He didn't even have to do it then.
And, well, yeah, and he lets you call him Sue.
I know, you know. But I'm bum, but I'm bum. Yeah, well, it makes him tougher.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What is that song by Johnny Cash?
My name is Sue. How do you do?
There you go.
Yep. Okay. And then just my eighth grandson will be a week old tomorrow.
Gosh.
He was born this past Monday.
Jaxton.
Jaxton. Mm-hmm. Jaxton Joseph.
That's mm-hmm. too cool.
And eight, too cool. Eight boys.
Eight boys. Yep.
Oh,
I've been told that that's all there's going to be, so we won't have a complete baseball team. But we do have a complete basketball team
with
bench warmers. I mean, we're three in, so
you know
we've got rotation. The age difference is a little stiff, though. I mean, there's 10 years difference between the oldest and the youngest.
Not if you look at the NBA.
And what's really interesting is the oldest grandson, which are twins, they're 10 and a half, and the youngest is now almost a week old, are from the same mother. She's got the bookends of the grandkids.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah. Jennifer has the oldest and the youngest.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
That makes her special in one other way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whenever age is no longer a problem for the world... Yeah, well, I mean, as time progresses, it seems that, you know, the age is no longer a problem. However, I'm serious about the NBA. The NBA runs from, 19-year-olds to...
Absolutely.
It
could happen. It could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could happen.
At family reunions, they can pull up that basketball team with that 10-year difference down the road,
you know,
and it'll be good.
10 years, it's always a matter of perspective. Mm-hmm. In any, any time, relationships of any kind, that's, there's a 10-year difference. When you're 6 and your older brother's 16, that's like a huge difference. But whenever you're 36 and your brothers are 46, that's nothing.
Right.
That's you drink the same beer.
You drink the same beer. Yeah. it's just a transition throughout time that age difference becomes smaller, even though it's still the same number of years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And older brothers are always going to tell younger brothers where they've screwed up, whatever they're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
And the younger brothers are going to.
But the older brothers
huff
are
off and
the older brothers right now are totally in love with him. I hope that lasts. But about the time he gets in, they get into their PlayStation or whatever.
Yeah,
probably
about the time
the newness will wear off.
Yeah, about the time he stuffs a banana down.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how it works.
So you're newly married, newly-ish married.
Newly-ish
you're
married.
You're a grandmother again. And what else have you got going on in your life?
I'm still doing massage therapy. I've added a new modality since I was here, lymphatic drainage.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to school for a weekend and got certified in that.
You've been active around the community, too, I think, with a lot of different endeavors.
I was on the music committee for the Bond County 4th Fest, and so I was actually the person in charge of the green room, or a lot of people don't know what the green room is. I was asked that, what's the green room? It's like, it's the hospitality room. So I got to meet the Kentucky Headhunters and just make sure that everything was neat, what they have for their, what it's called their contract writer. It's the things they want.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And theirs was easy. They're easy. They weren't like these divas that need green jelly beans and red M&Ms. they wanted Bud Light, Diet Coke.
Some water.
And some new hand towels to wipe the sweat off because it was a really hot weekend.
Yeah.
They were easy. Mm-hmm. They were nice. And it was a lot of fun.
And then I think you helped out with the graffiti car show. You did a little,
I was the personal assistant of Dee Dee Khan from the movie Grease. She was very nice, just the nicest person. My role as personal assistant was basically take the money when people were paying for autographs, and she was just like, "Oh, they don't have to pay because they've got cute little kids." And she just like it's your income that you're giving away. That's fine,
but it's fun to watch people like that in action, isn't it?
Right.
That are movie stars and have kept a celebrity status, but then just be as down to earth and normal.
And she was very engaging with people that come up to talk to her, to meet with her, and she just like wanted to know about their lives too. She wasn't just there, to do her thing. She was wanting to,
It can so easily go the other way, can it?
It can. I wasn't around the other three celebrities very much, so I don't know how engaging they were or weren't. I imagine they were probably nice, too. I just know that she was very nice.
Yeah, and it's nice to have firsthand experience where you can share that.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about what you've been doing. You've been very busy. Oh, another thing with the Secret Santa.
Oh, I'm glad you're here to tell me what all I'm doing because I've been so busy. I don't even know what I'm doing. Yes, last night we were in the parade at Fireman's Picnic, and we actually got the parade in between thunderstorms.
Yes, we wondered about that.
And the float got there. We put the chairs on and got the candy out of the car right after like 5 minutes before it was time to step off for the parade. And we got back to the beginning right when those clouds were rolling in.
Oh, wow.
And it was like I got in the car and then the skies, you know, let loose.
And you saw on Facebook today that Plantland had some damage from.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had some damage. They lost a couple of hoop frame buildings that have down there. Yeah, blew them all over the place. And our heart and souls goes out to them. I mean, that's their livelihood got blown away.
Whenever I left Pocahontas to take the grandsons back home to Holiday Shores, because my oldest grandsons were in the parade with us, and we saw a lot of limbs down between, you know, Pocahontas over to Edwardsville, up to Holiday Shores, and back to Greenville.
Wow, it's it was some crazy weather south of us and to the east. So I'm glad I saw that there was stuff coming, and I thought, well, maybe I should go get some gasoline for the generators, and I did. But
just in case.
Yeah.
You never know, because hot and sticky, I don't do well anymore. and we've got the motorhome; we can fire up and kill the hot and sticky really easy.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
So since I'm telling you what all you've been up to, Roxanne, now I'm going to say let's move back to the not the autumn dinner yet, but the book club.
The book club.
Yeah, and that's really been interesting to learn not just about the book and discuss the book, but also Louisa May Alcott's life, too.
Right.
So if you want to tell a little bit about the book club, what we've done so far, and what our this Wednesday is our next meeting.
Yes. Well, we kind of decided to do Little Women by Louisa May Alcott because this is like, what?
The 150th
anniversary of the book. Plus, then that's kind of the theme of the autumn dinner. Little foreshadowing music here. And then, so we decided, well, why don't we just focus on things by Louisa May Alcott? Well, Little Women is classic.
Right.
You can't hear her name and not know that Little Women is what she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first month meeting was more of a about her, her life, more of a biography about her. Because whenever you know where the author comes from in their life, it gives you a little bit of insight about what the book, the perspective the characters of the book are going to come from, probably. And so, actually, in Little Women, the characters in that book very much reflect her growing up. And her father, he was a philosopher. And a very educated man.
Very busy philosophizing.
He was philosophizing a lot, but not doing a whole lot, actually feeding and clothing the children, unfortunately. And it's really interesting to think about, you know, back in that time, what the 1800s, women weren't typically the breadwinners. You know, they were,
until they needed to be.
Until they needed to be. But even then, they still didn't have, the right to vote. You know, they were still not the head of the household, but yet Mrs. Alcott was actually one of the reasons they actually ever had food. But for about a year of their growing up, they decided that they were going to become part of, have a commune, you know. And it failed when the crops failed. But part of their thinking was that, well, we are going to only wear linen because cotton is done by slaves. I don't know why they were worried about wool, the poor sheep, I guess. I don't know.
I think that was it. They were vegetarians.
They were transcendentalists, which in the future, or this coming
the August issue.
Episode, the issue, I'm going to write a little bit about transcendentalism because, you know, people don't know what that is. I didn't really before I got into it. It's like, oh, it's just something I've heard of. But why linen was okay, I don't know, because somebody still had to grow the flax and beat the flax and make the fibers and weave the cloth. So it's not like there wasn't some human labor involved, but maybe slaves weren't involved.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Maybe whoever was doing was actually getting paid and choosing to do it.
Right.
I don't know.
But whenever this experimental commune failed, Mrs. Alcott packed up her daughters and moved back to Boston, and she got a little bit of an inheritance of her own money, and that's what partially paid for a place for them to live. And then he finally came back home. So, I mean, he was still a part of their lives. He was very integral in their lives for education and upbringing. But not when it came to material supply.
Well, it's interesting because then she and other women in a similar predicament would have to step up to the front to actually make sure their family could eat, but wouldn't get credit for doing it in the way that she couldn't even be hardly honest about it. It had to be always with a nod to him.
Right. And then so in the book Little Women, the way this is handled is Mr. March is a chaplain away at the Civil War. He's away. So he's not at home. And Mrs. March, she's doing charity work for people and doing all these things. And Joe, who is sort of a reflection of Louisa May Alcott, when she gets a little older, she wants to be a writer and she wants to earn money to help support the family. And even before she sells her first articles, and this is all in the story, her older sister Meg is a governess for another family, and then she goes and stays with her Aunt March, who is wealthy enough to be able to pay somebody to be her daily assistant.
And those
they were bringing in money to actually feed the family.
And those
in the story.
Those were approved women's roles and jobs. That was okay to do that then.
It was
wasn't
okay
it?
To be a governess and basically a glorified babysitter.
Kind of a caregiver always.
Kind of a caregiver. And always a caregiver. Really, almost every one of them. Now, one of when I was doing the research on Louisa May Alcott for the article I wrote about her specifically, one source said she was the first social worker, female social worker in Boston, but I could never find another source that verified that, so I didn't really include that. But it's interesting that that might actually be true, you know, because I don't know. They probably saw that or read that somewhere, but since I didn't have two sources, I didn't want to say that that was for sure, that it was true. But, you know, that would have even been a little bit edgy at the time.
Sure would. And women had their clearly defined roles, and staying inside those confines was necessary.
Right.
Now, the philosophy of transcendentalism and the practice did allow women more leeway and more space, I think, in general, because the girls learned things that they were schooled. Like you said, their dad at least did that and encouraged them in education, reading, art, anything that was what maybe not typically thought of.
Yeah, because they're, you know, his feeling was girls should have more of an education than knowing how to do embroidery and darning socks, which, you know, in a lot of families, that's what girls' roles were. Their education, well, okay, maybe you might learn to read the Bible and maybe a couple other things out of the primer, but that was really all the education a girl really needed. You know, and then she needed to know the fine arts for homemaking, which there's nothing wrong with that. I do a lot of that myself because I enjoy it. But, you know, that was girls' education. And so he was, you know, a radical almost for that time, because his daughters did learn philosophy and, you know, deep subjects that were previously men's roles.
While their mother was out making sure they could eat.
While their mother was out making sure they could eat. Exactly. So then last month we talked about the book, the first half, which the book is, you know, called book one, book two, but it's all in one book, but there's like a part one, part two.
And
so we talked about part one.
Is that because she released book one and then wrote later book two?
Yes, and then later on it was a later issue that was released. It was actually published in magazines first.
Oh, gosh, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, and then it was put together in a book a little later. And that was when Louisa May Alcott first made like real money. I mean, real money with that. I don't remember what the number was, but compared, she would, for her time, would almost compare to some of your big authors now, like John Grisham or, you know, some of those that, you know, as far as her income. And for a woman, that was a lot, you know, adjusted for inflation. And so then, and so this month, which is Wednesday, the 18th, is when we have our next book club meeting. We're going to be wrapping up the book as far as talking about book two, and we're going to have wine and hors d'oeuvres.
Yes. It's a party.
It's a party.
Cool.
We had tea party last time.
We did.
Yes.
There was no whining about the tea.
No whining about the tea, but now you don't get to whine about the wine either.
Just drink it.
Just drink it. Yeah. So anybody's interested in coming, we need a definite RSVP, because I'm making things and I need to know how many people I'm making for. I'm making shrimp, fried shrimp cakes with lemon aioli sauce.
That sounds so
good. And the shrimp come from the Gulf Coast that John and I brought back from Mississippi.
So, folks, we're not talking just books, and we're not talking just shrimp. We're talking fresh from the ocean
fresh shrimp, brought back by you guys. You know, fresh frozen, but it was fresh whenever we got it. They caught it and threw it right in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So,
my sous chef's
going to have to go through and make sure it's all deveined for me because I haven't a clue on doing that. But you know, he's a meat cutter. He knows what he's doing.
He does.
Yeah. Have you ever done peel and eat shrimp?
No.
Oh well. It's not that tough.
No, I didn't figure it was that tough, but yeah. And then I'm also going to emulate a scene from book one of Little Women when Jo decided she was going to make a meal. Their mother had to leave. She was going to be gone, so she thought she could handle the dinner party all on her own. And at the time, she was probably like a 15-year-old girl. And she had all these plans, and she made this whole meal, and it was so funny because you mentioned earlier before we started recording about somebody replacing or using salt instead of sugar. Well, she did that in the book. And so they ended up all eating olives and bread and butter. That was the only thing that was a success. So we're going to have a little nod to that, but I'm going to make an olive pesto.
That'll be so good.
And I'm going to serve that with cocktail rye bread.
Perfect.
Yes.
That is perfect.
It is perfect.
Yeah.
You butter that bread and put some olive pesto on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and as we're enjoying those, the fact that someone might be thinking, if they're listening, that sounds like fun and I want to come, but I haven't read the book or I haven't been to the first meetings.
You don't have to read the book.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that. Because whenever we talk about the book, we're not talking just about the book. We're also talking about the ideals and the
transcendental nature of their
everything
existence.
About, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of talked about, you know, he was a philosopher, but, you know, the comment that I had picked up years and years ago from a minister that I heard use this line was, he was so heavenly minded, he was of no earthly good, mm-hmm. You know, because you have your everyday stuff, you know, and he had so many good qualities, but boy, when it came down to and that's the type of thing we talk about. It's not just about the book.
Well, I even saw there was a movie that was a book club movie, and they basically said that, do you think we talk about the book most of the time?
Right.
We don't talk about the book.
We don't talk about the
and
book.
It can be. I've been to meetings if that's the case, but the direction it leads you is anybody's guess.
Right.
So that's a fun
one. And then next month, the plan is to watch the movie Little Women. And I'm hoping I get the one that is starring Winona Ryder as Jo March. That one is a very well done version of the story. And so we're going to have movie night.
That'll be fun, too.
Yeah. And I guess that means popcorn, juju beans. I don't know. I don't know.
To be announced.
To be announced.
Bring your own wine.
Bring your own.
Yeah.
Bring your own theater snacks. This is the one theater where you can bring your own in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then after that, then whenever we meet in September, we will be shifting gears and reading some more like short stories that she had written that were of a different nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly haven't read them yet. I have the book at home. It's called Behind a Mask, but it's a collection of four short stories that she wrote. And so those are more of your Victorian love/horror type of story without being, you know, like Freddy Krueger.
Love slash slasher?
I don't know. I don't, but they're different, you know.
Well, I think
they're Blood and Thunder is what she called them.
Yeah.
The Blood and Thunder novels.
And I think Don even says something about, would that be the Hitchcock side of Louisa May
Alcott.
Would
be, I think that's what it basically is. But of course, I'm sure it's still family friendly because these would have been published in, you know, public, you know, papers and magazines at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still, compared to what you would see at the, you know, theater here in town.
The dark
now,
side of Louisa
yeah,
May.
It the is
dark
a darker
side, the dark
side of her.
Yeah.
And so I think that'll be interesting to just kind of get a different feel because, you know, Little Women was such a huge hit. And then there was Joe's Boys and Little Men. And there's a whole series of books that all were related to the first one, Little Women, the March family, and where it goes from there. And that made her a lot of money and notoriety. But she had another side.
Well, and you can understand that. She even said, I don't want to write just for these you know, she had other interests.
Right.
And probably that came in part from the fact that she was able to delve into philosophy
right.
and other issues that wouldn't be considered normally for women at the right. time. It opened her up to new ideas.
Exactly.
So then that brings us around to the autumn dinner.
To the autumn dinner.
Yeah, and this will be our fifth year doing autumn dinner.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I was thinking back, the first autumn dinner we had was right here at Adam Brothers, mm-hmm. and Jess Adam was the one that served that. He cooked and served. The next right. year, we turned to you and said, hey, Roxanne, you game?
Hell.
Yes.
And you've been creating dinners ever since.
And every time Richard Barth says, let's let her do it again next year.
And we've never stopped.
No.
We just let you, don't
let
we?
Let me.
Well, and the themes that we've had have always been, have had a thread that would be similar to what we do in the Owl Creek
right.
is that self-reliance, sustainability. And so we did, some of our autumn dinners were the Suffragettes
mm-hmm.
and Little House on the Prairie mm-hmm. and the Waltons and the Hamner family.
Yep.
And then this year we'll be doing Little Women.
So and our dinner is going to give a little bit of a reminiscence to the attempted meal that Joe failed at.
Hopefully it'll be much more successful.
I hope it's not a failure. Yeah.
We've never had.
We're not going to have to resort to olives and bread and butter.
No, but we might have some on the table just because I like them.
We might. Yeah, we might have some on the
table. But it'll be in conjunction with.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's, you know, some of our dinners in the past, it was like, well, we'll stick to the time, to the era. And so, you know, we're not really going to do that so much. There's going to be a modern twist to a couple of things because, like, seriously, you know, some things you just can't do the way they did.
Right.
You know, back
right.
then. But, yeah, the inspiration for the dinner comes from Little Women.
Little Women, and then we've got a cookbook to pull from too.
Yes.
So, and we've always found some sort of cookbook to kind of guide you in
right.
your preparations of the meals. And we've had anywhere from 25 to 60 people come to these dinners, and it's really been fun because we always have a presentation. Angie Shute is going to be presenting information on Louisa May Alcott from her librarian and historical of references. So that'll be a nice addition too. And then you're going to, for the rest of the, several months in the magazine, continue to feature things that you learn about and want to share about
right.
Louisa May Alcott.
Right. So, yeah, the next issue I'm going to write about transcendentalism and how that influenced the family and in turn influenced her writing. And then I don't know where I'll go from there, but, you know. We'll see.
We can play it by ear.
Make it up as we go along.
And we've done, over the years, we were also looking back at some of the different series you've done for the Owl Creek Gazette. And usually you and I put our heads together and think, what do we want to have that you do, you know, you've experienced that you can bring to the pages of the OCG? So those are some of the...
yeah, we did. I did a short series on preserving food. I think that was maybe 3 issues or 4 issues.
I think so, yeah. And that was early on in the magazine.
It was like very, yeah, it was like, I think I got pulled into this whole shenanigans. What, your third issue of, your third issue, I think?
Yes, we're shenanigans.
Your shenanigans, yes. And then I did one on the Wheel of the Year, which was, I think that was a whole year that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was a fun one to do because what that did, it was about different holidays and seasonal activities, not just in what we know in the Western world, but globally, worldwide. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the parallels of how, you know, okay, so we have Easter, but then over here they have this holiday, and over here, because we mentioned earlier, well, not the whole world celebrates Halloween. No, they don't necessarily celebrate Halloween the way we do, like with trick-or-treating little kids, but they have other things that happen about the same time of the year that are similar because there's a parallel in life cycles. And one of the things I pointed out with this column, that series of articles, was that life is not linear. And it's not really a circle. It's more of a spiral. You come back around to the same place year after year after year, but every time you hit that same point, you're not really at the same point. It's just a little bit different. So it's mm-hmm. really more of a spiral, not a circle. And then I did Sunshine and Bugs column for, it was several months, if not mm-hmm. a whole year.
I think you did
And that was
one.
A kind of a miscellaneous uh-huh. type of thing. There was some farm-related things in there, baby goats and all that.
If you're raising chickens, you're going to be eating sunshine
yeah,
and bugs.
Sunshine and bugs, that's right. Your eggs, where do eggs come from? Sunshine and bugs. then there was Where Will It Stop, which was sort of a more of a political not taking sides politically, but where our political systems throughout the whole world are leading us. And then we led to a little bit of a discussion about Agenda 21, which, if you want to know what that is, look up the old issues of the magazine and find out.
And some of those are on our website at owlcreekgazette.com, and then some of them have been moved over to our members-only website, which all that information is on the owlcreekgazette.com website.
Right. And then there's been a few times when I've not written anything for a couple months, and then there's been a few, here's a miscellaneous thing I throw in just for fun.
Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of good times taking what you know and what you did before you knew us and bringing that onto the pages, and then we just kind of elaborate, and that grows into whatever creations our little hearts desire, exactly. I suppose.
You've been creating for us, with us, for 7 years here.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Creating shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Always like the shenanigans.
I do too. That's kind of like shindigs. You do shenanigans
and
shindigs.
I do shindigs and shenanigans. You know, I was thinking.
Oh, new column, Roxanne.
Yeah, hey.
Shenanigans.
I was thinking the other day about whenever we were doing the second Saturday on Second Street with our businesses and trying to pull people to come into Greenville
the
and shop
Saturday
local.
Second Saturday series.
Yes, it was Second Saturday series.
And what we were doing then, and we see a lot of people embracing this kind of thing now, but we really hinted at that with that Second Saturday series, and if people knew how to blend teas or make soap or whatever the candles, whatever it was something to come on down, experience something you may want to do or not know how to do.
It was actually an early pop-up shop thing that we had going.
It was. I thought about that. All those things that now are expressions and phrases people use, we were going ahead and trying out and hardly knew they had a name at the time.
We were legends before our time, and we still didn't know it.
That's right.
I used to tell my kids whenever they were high schoolers that I was so cool nobody knows it. See, that's kind of how we are. We're so cool nobody knows it.
And now we're talking about how cool everything is here, exactly. Right here on Creekside.
Exactly.
So. Anyway, well, I'm glad you've had a chance to spread your writing prowess in the magazine and share some good times with us in all the endeavors we've undertaken. So we'll have to bring you back again before you have a ninth grandson. How's that? Even though the word's out, that's not going to happen.
That's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
You don't ever know. Never say never.
That's right. We've all eaten a lot of words by saying that.
Yes. Right, indeed. So it's been a wild reconnect with Roxanne.
And we're going to see her this Wednesday.
We're going to see her Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. One thing, and we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but tell people where the book club takes place.
The book club takes place at my house/shop at 403 East College Avenue in Greenville, Illinois, and we meet at 6:30 on Wednesday, July 18th.
That's right.
Yes. Sweet. With wine.
I even knew that in my head.
Wow. Didn't have to
read. I didn't even have that wrote
crib notes or nothing.
No.
Look out.
Well, listen, for all you've done, thanks, and we will enjoy our whiny book club.
That's right.
So let's say goodnight.
Oh, sounds like a plan. Good night, everybody.
Good
thanks
night,
for tuning
everybody.
In.
Bye-bye.